us every day that he's a little bit bigger. Amen. Give him another hand clap, another praise with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. Man, I'm so glad it's Wednesday night. This is a highlight of my week. I love Wednesday night service. There is no place I'd rather be than in the house of the Lord. Amen. Can you hear amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I want to encourage us tonight. I'm going to just entitle this The Missing Leper. My sermon tonight is on divine healing within the body of God, of Christ, that will bring the revival. Divine healing, divine miracles involves a supernatural act which resolve a physical, emotional, a spiritual problem one going through. You know, there have been a lot of needs lately. We have been receiving a lot of emails from people that, hey, pray for me. People just struggling with stuff in their life. People that just with sickness that just can't get over it. I know a few people that have been under the weather since November, and it don't seem like, you know, they contact the church, ask the church to pray. We pray, and they just seem like they are in a play. They just can't get over it. But, you know, James, you remind me of the book of James, where chapter 5, verse 14, is any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. I believe that. I still believe that today, no matter what voices we'll hear outside in the world, I believe that the prayer of faith does still work. And I have a scripture, and I don't want to read that a little bit later. But if the word say it in the book, I believe it. As apostolic, we believe in divine miracles, signs and wonders, laying on hands, giving away prayer cloth, calling on the name of Jesus. I have learned over time that divine miracles come in three different ways. Supernatural miracles, healing, divine healing, can happen right at the time as you or someone prays or asks. It can happen right then. It can have healing can take place, deliverance can take place, financial blessing can take place, marriage restore can take place, kids come home can take place right then. That one ways. I was a witness years ago of five guys praying for this young man that been in a wheelchair. He was in a wheelchair since he was born. And he was in his late teens, and he was at this revival conference, revival outreach effort in St. Petersburg. And he wanted a touch from God. So he rolled himself up down front, and there was five men gathered around this young man and start to pray. And they prayed, and this guy, now we got to realize this guy never was able to stand up on his feet by himself. He had to have help just to move to get in the bed, but over years he learned how to use his arms and other part of his body. But that night, someone helped him to his feet and walked with him back and forth in the name of Jesus. And before it was over, this guy was walking around. He called his parents on the phone Paul gave them a heart attack and said, Jesus healed me. Jesus healed me. I mean, so divine miracles and healing can take place right at that moment. I believe that. I've seen that and experienced it. Number two, God sees the big picture. Some take time. God's timing is different from our timing. We heard that quoted many times, and sometimes I just don't like it. But it's true. God's timing is different from our timing. If you're anything like me, we want it now. We don't want to wait for God's timing. We want the miracle. We want what we prayed for right then. We only human. That's what we want. But in God's timing, the miracle will be perfect. Some are answers already. The answer is done. The miracle has already been poured out, and we don't even know it until the perfect time. I'm going to use my wife for example tonight. I don't want to embarrass her. I don't think I will. But my wife, years ago, before she was in church, years ago, she was diagnosed with an anxiety panic attack. They were so severe that they had to put her on medication. They would come suddenly without warning. And what I mean by that is, you know, we could be at Walmart walking around, man, just having a good time looking at stuff, talking about just anything. And I might just turn around for a second, and she was gone. Where's she at? Walking around the store, can't find her. She'd be in the car because they came on so suddenly. And, you know, busy places or people with a lot of people there, that just added to the matter. That it just didn't work. She just didn't like to go to a big environment with a lot of people because she could start feeling things to take place. And but they would come on so suddenly. But one day she decided to go to church with me because I started to go to church first. I like to say that. I'm the one that started to go to church first. And so anyway, I started to go to church, and she decided one night to go with me. And she had, seemed like a 100 questions. Hey, what is this place like? How many people is going to be there? Just stuff like, you know, I can't be to be too crowded. And, you know, I said, oh, it ain't like that. I promise you. It's only a few people. I left out the part that it was a shack in the woods in the back of somebody's yard. And when you go through the driveway, it didn't look pretty, you know. And so we pull up, go down the street. Where are you taking me? Where are you taking me? And so we pull up, and it was an apostolic church. And she like, and you want me to go in there? Yeah, it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. But she went to church. But she didn't feel anything. Just give me a second to explain. She didn't feel anything. Her service. Well, she came back to church. And again, she didn't feel anything. Because God was already working, doing a work. Jesus healed her the first time she stepped into the church. About a month later, she was baptized in Jesus' name. About 2 weeks later than that, God filled her with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. On the way home from a prayer meeting, she said, "I don't want to take my medication anymore. I don't need it." Not only, amen, not only was she taking medicine for anxiety and panic attack, she was taking medicine for a thyroid disorder she was diagnosed with. And the medicine was making her sick because she didn't need it anymore. The doctor said, "You don't need the medication. Quit taking it." Miracles still happen. When God is in it, God is in our church, miracles will still happen. If we are a part of the true body, miracles, divine healing, divine miracles will happen. There are going to be people who come into this building and sit down in a blue chair, and the Spirit of God is changing them on the inside, and they don't see it or feel it right then. Cancer is gone. Suicide thought is vanishing away. Deliverance from perversion will be gone. The pain of a church hurt. The presence of the Almighty will leave an impact, but sometimes you don't even feel it. Until the impact take place. Miracles. Number three. God may allow us to go through some things to unfold the miracles of spiritual healing by adding others into our life to help us to help to guide a person. Spiritual healing, the word declare, how can a person learn? How can a person grow without a preacher, without a teacher, a helper in their life? God has chosen different methods of divine healing, divine miracles for each individual. I have seen God open a Trinitarian eyes to the oneness of God and the born-again experience, because he had a hunger for a early church experience. He said, and I remember him telling me, he said, "Man, I was raised this religion. I went to church. I did everything. I knew what to do." But he said, "Man, he seemed like my pastor, my preacher, all from my childhood until I was grown, they studied the gospel. They could tell you every little Sunday school lesson in the gospels. They could tell you every healing took place. They could tell you all kind of stories and the things Jesus did." He said, "Then all of a sudden they can tell you about their Roman road of salvation, man. They can tell you how to be saved according to the Roman road." And they take, he said, "Man, they took me all through the Bible." He said, "But," he said, "something always draw me back to the book of Acts." He said, "I'm just a good old Baptist boy." He said, "But it drawed me back to the book of Acts." He said, they was having a revival. Things were taking place. They were experiencing these things. So he had an unhate hunger for the early church experience. It only took one Bible study over the phone from his uncle that he never met. He started calling churches until he found one that baptized in Jesus' name. that believe in receiving the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues, because he just had a hunger. A true born-again experience is the biggest miracle out there. If you're just seeking a miracle of divine, and not without a born-again experience, the born-again experience is the biggest divine miracle that could ever happen into a person. The church has saints that have been around a while that knows the routines, know how to ask for help, know how to cry out. Many member of one body. And I have scriptures out for all this if you want them later. But in the body, in the church, there is a womb. What is a church without needs? The church also has sinners that has been in the church for a while and are still trying to find the way, but they love God. The church also have what the Bible calls children of babes in Christ that have been through the new birth, hungry for things of God, but still on milk and not ready for the meat they can't digest. The church also have backsliders. Just bear with me. Backsliders. So my scripture tonight, I hope all this going to make sense to somebody. It makes sense to me. A lot of things make sense to me, might not make sense to a lot of folks, but amen. But Luke 17, 11 through 19, in the Amplified, is the story of the 10 lepers. While Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who still stood at a distance, way over there. And they raised their voice and called out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." The only command, I want to stop there. The only command that Jesus said we could read is, "Go show yourself to the priest." As they went, they were healed and made clean. One of them, when he saw that he was clean, turned back, glorifying and praising and honoring God with a loud voice. And he said, he lay face down at Jesus' feet, thanking him over and over and over. He was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 of you clean? Where are the other 9? Was there not one found to return and to give thanks and praise to God except this foreigner?" Jesus said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your personal trust in me and your confidence in God's power has restored you to health." I chose this particular scripture because there are three supernatural acts that took place in this story: physical healing, emotional healing, and spiritual healing. When we look through the gospel, there are 26 recorded divine miracles plus that took place by Jesus. But the Bible also tells us he did many more. God continued to answer prayers from us that ask in faith in his name. Our Jesus is still a miracle-working God. He's an on-time God, a God of compassion. He's a great physician. All healing and physical, emotional, and spiritual belong to Him. He has not lost His ability to heal, or His love for His people has not diminished. No matter what this world is telling us, no matter what things we see out there, He still loves us. He still has the plans for us. His love for us is still as strong as it was at Calvary. His name, His blood still cleans, still heals, and still protects. Jesus' body was broken to bring all into a spiritual body that they can be part of. It takes a born-again experience. We are part of the body of Christ. When a person becomes a part of the body, they are given the power to be Christ in this world. Amen. Didn't Jesus teach greater works you would do in 2002, Mark Hall wrote a song titled "If We Are the Body." Released in 2003, became a number one hit single by Casting Crowns. Spent 3 weeks as number one on the Billboard Top Christian Songs lyrics. Some of the lyrics is, "But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? If we are the body, why isn't his hands healing? Why isn't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why isn't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? There is a way." "We Are the Body" was originally used as a teaching tool. It wasn't a song. It was a teaching tool in his youth group. Hall, as a youth pastor, said that the youth group had forgotten what the body of Christ looked like and commented that the world is well aware of what the church is against, but they isn't always aware of what it is. The church is not just a building we go to on Sundays and Wednesdays to get our praise on. But the truth church is a body and should be divine. And divine means like God. To be like God, we have to spend time with Him to do His work He did. We have to have the divine working through us. We have to spend time with Him to see what He sees and feel what Jesus felt. We have to trust what He tells us and believe it when He talked to us. I was once told by a bishop years ago that when you have the Spirit living in you, when a person asks God for guidance in a situation, your first instinct is the Spirit. The second is usually your flesh. And as I grew in God, I understood what he was telling me. Because when you're seeking God for a certain situation and you doing what you know is right, and you give that first impression to do something that is not crazy, not just way out there, that is not, you know, you need money to go rob the bank, you know, stuff like that, but it's that first instinct. If you hear a voice or an impression that tells you to do something or say something that you usually wouldn't do. Like, go pray for your server at the restaurant. Don't ask no questions. Just walk up and say, hey, can I pray for you? That's God. Tell a complete stranger you love them. Hey, go tell the impression. Hey, see this guy over here? Go tell him you love him. Well, will you usually do that on your own? No, that's God. Praying for a complete stranger at the grocery store. That's God. Giving your last 20 to someone holding a sign at a red light without judging. Impression. That's something you wouldn't do. That shouldn't be a second instinct. Well, maybe I give him a 5. You know, but a 20 is a lot of money to some people. Amen. To give maybe running laps on a Sunday morning during worship. About 15 years ago, that was me. I'd be sitting over there in a chair and I'd give this impression. I can't just get up and run for my name. Ain't gonna do that. Hey, go over there in that corner. Go to the altar and raise a hand for my name. Okay, maybe next time. That was me. And then when you're obedient to it, there is a release that takes place. Go next time, it become easier. Hey, Jesus, I need something today. Jesus, I praise your name. Jesus, I got things in my life is drifting apart. I got things in my life that nobody knows except me and my family. But I need some help. Because if you couldn't do that first impression, when a real hard time comes, can you do it then? Stuff like that is God. That's that God speaking to you. As God speaking, your miracle might just be a response away. We have been preached to last year and this year by a pastor, an assistant pastor, by other ministers, and that revival is coming. I believe that. I believe a revival is coming. Amen. Recently, I have asked myself, am I ready for revival? Am I doing my part to get ready for revival? God is love. Do I love? God is forgiving, and he forgets. Do I? That's how you get ready for revival. Because you know, we are at peace. Each individual in this church is a member of a body. People I come across, do they see Jesus? Can they feel their presence walking through me? I read in the Word where the apostles could walk through and people is healed because they had enough Jesus in them. Can people see Jesus through us, through the body? There were 10 lepers. When they saw Jesus, they got beside themselves and started making all kind of noise. They all wanted to be sure Jesus heard them. They had needs in their life. But all 10 of them stayed at a distance. Jesus, because the law of God that he gave Moses told them to. I believe at least 9 of them were Jews. The good old boys that knew how to get the praise on. They knew how to ask for help. Knew how to put the Sunday best on. They knew what the book said. On the other hand, and one of them was a Samaritan, a sinner that didn't know too much about church, that didn't know how to find a priest, but knew how to follow the leader. But I believe when the Samaritan began to cry out in faith to a man that looked like a Jew, and others said that he may be the Son of God in flesh because he needed a miracle in his life. He may not felt anything right then, but when he heard the command, remember when we heard the command in our life, I remember hearing a command, say, hey, you need a born-again experience. He commands that God loves me. Remember when we heard Jesus simply said, go and show yourself to the priest. All 10 of them started walking. 9 of them knew where to find the priest. And they what the requirement was to be declared clean. It wasn't an easy process to declare clean. There was a lot of rituals, a lot of things you had to go through to be declared clean. It was almost like a 2-week process to be declared clean. Spiritual, leprosy, spiritual meaning represents sin. The Samaritan stepped out in faith and started walking. He didn't know the priest. He didn't know too much about the law of Moses, but he just followed the leader. May not even realize he was being obedient to Jesus. I believe he had enough and truly wanted a change in his life, but something started to happen on the way. Joy started to fill his heart, but the same heart that was in the presence of the Lord when he didn't feel anything. When he was walking, God was talking. And when he looked and maybe he looked in front of him, and I believe he saw the other 9 became healed, and they kept walking. The Bible said that when he saw himself, one of them, when he saw that he was healed and turned back, glorifying and praising and honoring God with a loud voice, and he lay face down at Jesus' feet, thanking him over and over and over. At first, he didn't feel anything. Jesus is as close as the mention of his name. No distance is too far for Jesus not to respond. The 9 Jews in the story may represent some saints in the church body that know how to be saved, that know the doctrine, that knows the Godhead, that know or to find the priest. My represents backsliders. Also some that has let the sin of pride and so focused on religious rituals that they've forgotten the importance of humbleness, glorifying and praising God, not showing the love of God. The Samaritan in our story represent every person that walk into the church looking for a change. May not understand what we understand. And may not feel what we feel, but looking for a miracle and really don't understand the miracle they are looking for. They may just start to follow the leader. The leader are going to, if the leader is going to cry out, I'm going to cry out. If they start walking, I'm going to start walking. They need to feel the love of God and the anointing of the Spirit. I hope this is making sense. I used to know this guy was a very respected person in his community. He was very proud and used to serve as a, used to serve as a sergeant in the United States Marine Corps. Very hard in what he believed in. I will never forget when I saw this man in his early 70s walking to the church. I made a statement, he will never get it. I was very new in the church also. I felt like he stayed because of family. Then a few years later, I watched him and his wife get baptized. A few months later, she received the Holy Ghost. He on the other hand, stayed faithful to God. To stay faithful to the church. Dear man, did everything right. Man, paid his tithe, always paid his tithes, gave, did all kind of great things for the church, showed up at every function, was taught doctrine, Bible studies on the new birth, the Godhead, very knowledgeable when you come to the Godhead and stuff like that, the need of the Holy Ghost, studies he received, many studies. Heard very anointing sermons from his pastor, from other evangelists. He used to order the tapes, from VHS tapes, from the Because of the Times, and watch those. Very hungry for knowledge of God. Always spending time with the church body. He just couldn't understand some things. He just couldn't. It just didn't click. He had a hard time understanding holiness. But I understand that. At that time, he didn't have the Holy Ghost. And how can you understand something that came from above when you haven't totally been born again from above? So I understand the some stuff he just couldn't get. But again, he was faithful to the house of God. He asked God for the Holy Spirit many times. He asked people to come and lay hands on him. I remember one time he said, man, I do want it. And he said, I get my arms get tired and all that stuff. And we even put down a chair and we gathered around him and we prayed. And just never made that connection. Years went by. Still faithful. Every Sunday, Wednesday night, he was faithful. Went to the altar every time the altar was open. Years went by. He was diagnosed with dementia. His daughter brought him to church every Sunday, faithful to God. It seems like he's still seeking the Holy Ghost. It seemed like on Sunday his mind was sharp. He coming to church, he can name everybody by name, man. Take their hand like he always done. In the evening, it seemed like his mind was slipping away. Sunday come around, sharp as a tack. And he still was faithful to the house of God. The church always showed him love, always showed him kind, always prayed for him, always visited him, never judged. There's going to be people sitting in the blue chair may never get it. The job of the church is to minister to them and love them. They love them. They love them and love them and love them some more. God will do the rest in his time. In time, he knows when they will receive it. My friend received the baptism of the Holy Ghost lying in a hospital bed in his room at home, with saints of God standing around him with evidence of speaking in tongues when he took his last breath. In his room at home, he was faithful to God the only way he knew how to be faithful to God, and God kept his end of the deal. So I ask us today, are we ready for revival? Are we ready for divine things to take place? I think our revival is great. Revival is wonderful. We need revival. But revival can also be heartbreaking. Amen. It can also be heartbreaking. So are we ready for revival? Are we preparing ourselves as a body of Christ for revival? The early church had revival and divine healing because they had all things in common, meaning they walked with God. They stayed connected to the other believers no matter what else was going on. They did not condemn, they taught, and they loved, and they was guided by the Spirit. They stayed renewed as a body. When the right hand knew what the left hand was doing. As I close, I believe God is working, and God is moving. And God is bringing healing. God is bringing miracles. God is restoring things. I believe that the Alabaster, Alabama is going to receive revival. I also believe surrounding churches is going to receive revival. I can see the Alabama breaking out in revival in 2024. So I want to share a couple of scripture with you on healing. Peter, 1 Peter 2:24, New King James, said, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sin might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we was healed." Not just healed physically, but spiritually, but healed spiritually. Our mind is healed. Our mind is restored. Amen. When our mind is restored, I believe there is nothing we can't face. Nothing we can't face dead on with Jesus on our side. Amen. Philippians 4:19. "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ." Psalms 32, Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. Oh, man, he healed me. I remember the day he healed my mind. You remember the day he healed your mind? I mean, can't we just all stand to our feet? Can we all come to the front for a time of renewing, a time